Today, the subject that's going to occupy our morning and evening service is the subject, When God Changes Your Plans. You know, most of us do not like change. How many of you like change? Oh, some of you might be benevolent enough to say, as long as it's for the better. But the truth of the matter is, we don't like change. Let me illustrate. How many of you enjoyed time change? Well, it's nice to be able to have it lighten up bright and early for those of you that like to walk. But most of you had a hard time adjusting to time change. Gets dark at 6 o'clock, sometimes 5:45. And it's hard. Change is difficult. Let me illustrate this. When you get another car, you're so used to getting into your old car, you don't even have to look when you put the key in the ignition. You just get in the car, get that key, and put it in there, start it up, put the gear shift down, and everything is automatic. But what happens when you get another car? You look, and now where is this? Oh, before starting on my trip, I should have learned where the windshield wipers are. Now I have to stop on the side of the road. Beulah, will you get that owner's manual in the box and let's figure this thing out. Change is hard. Or some of you perhaps, heaven forbid, but you break an arm and you have to learn how to eat with your left hand. Well, let me give you a secret. Eating with your left hand is easy. If you're Pastor John, I do it all the time. And I am somewhat ambidextrous. However, I prefer having it the old way. Well, we can sometimes be that way with the Lord as well. So all of these things are by way of introduction. We do not like change. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. But guess what? In that long period of time called sanctification is a lot of change that the Lord brings into our hearts and lives. God has not promised you or me smooth sailing. What he has promised us is a safe landing. Keep that in mind. He has a purpose in allowing every circumstance that comes into your life. And sometimes it's going to be air pockets. How many of you like to fly? Some of you say, I never fly. I believe in that verse, lo, I am with you always. Well, that's taken out of context. But some people hate to fly. Others don't mind it at all. It seems like I've done most of my flying as a young man when I was in college and seminary. I haven't done as much in my latter years. My boys are utilizing that. They enjoy flying. The more takeoffs and landings on one trip, the better for them. I mean, you know, if you don't go to Busch Gardens or Disney or some of these other places, Six Flags or whatever, it is a form of roller coaster ride for some of them, I suppose. But you know, the Lord will bring us to shore in every storm of life. You know, Andrew Murray put it real well when he was discussing changes in life. He said this, words of Andrew Murray, God is willing to assume full responsibility for the life that is totally yielded to him. I'm going to say that again. God is willing to assume full responsibility for the life that is yielded to him. And you could be on your deathbed experience and you will never regret having yielded your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have seen many an individual who at the end of their life regretted a life of rebellion and rejection. Most recently, once a young man, a young idol, heartthrob, David Cassidy, in the last moments of his life, he told his daughter, "My life has been a wasted life," because he had given himself in the midst of all of his riches and popularity to a life of addiction and debauchery. Well, one of these days, your destiny is going to be fulfilled. Soon and very soon, the Lord is going to step down from the mountain of his glory. The old trumpet is going to be sound, and we'll be snatched up to meet the Lord in the clouds. I was sharing with a brother this morning in church and how we were talking about a certain period of time, and we both agreed, well, you know what? The Lord may come before then. And we have that wonderful promise that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. John, the great revelator, said, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." So some of you are going through change and difficulties. You know, looking at this subject of God changing our plans, it's not easy. We all have ambitions in life, don't we? We all set goals and objectives to accomplish them. And we're told to do that if we're going to excel in a given field of endeavor. But in our minds, all our desires, all of our wants, yes, they are legitimate and beneficial. And we make careful plans to achieve them. We want to have success. It's our human desire to improve our careers, our relationships, as well as our well-being. We want to expand our business. Oh, we want to achieve a promotion. And you'll hear that of young people and young couples today that start businesses and enterprises. And I'm happy for small businesses. And I'm glad that our current administration is seeking to make provision for small businesses to begin that are the backbone for employment and local prosperity on the municipal and the county and the statewide level as well. But you know, we want to expand all of our businesses and achieve a promotion, reach financial security. We want to travel. We want to reach the American dream of buying a car and owning a home, maybe finding the right person to marry in our lives. And you know, there are many things that we want to achieve in life. We think our plans are good, don't we? Because after all, the idea is to accomplish more and more and reach a happier life. But you know, disruptions come. Change often comes. And we don't welcome disruption to our plans. Look at your life. Do you welcome disruptions to your plans? Oftentimes, our well-thought-out plans are interrupted. We feel agitated and frustrated. Perhaps the retirement that we once hoped for has, through the economy, been depleted. Or else, thinking that, well, I've raised my family, all of my expenses are gone now, we begin to see that they are replaced with health care expenses that face us. That can sometimes happen, and it leaves us agitated and frustrated. We want our plans to go smooth sailing without any surprises. I once had a boss that told me in a factory, "I don't like surprises. I want to know what's going on all the time, he'd say in staff meetings. And you know, we don't like surprises or disruptions to our plans. Well, let me share with you something in case you haven't realized it. God has a plan as well, and that plan involves you. And something else about this plan, it's God's wish and desire that our plans be aligned to his plans in our lives. And I'm stating this in as simple way as possible to say that, you know, we'll never find happiness and joy and fulfillment until we're willing to put the Lord first in our lives, not just for salvation, but in every single plan. And there are times when God has to veto. He has veto power. He has the right. But praise the Lord, he wants to be the benevolent dictator in your life. He wants to be the benevolent ruler. And thank God for Romans 8:28, and we can trust in him. So therefore, if you want to make a plan, make sure that your plan is aligned with God's plan. And we're going to be looking at some of the principles tonight on making sure that that can be. And don't be surprised if God changes your plans because they are not aligned with his. But what do we do? It's kind of like the person that's taking one of these psychology courses with the pegs and the triangular pegs and the circles, and you're supposed to put them all in the right spaces, the circles with the circular hole and the triangle with the triangular hole. And we have, and you know what? We see a triangle and we have a circle. We take out a pen knife and we start whittling on it to try to make it into a triangle to put it in. And, you know, it's the will of the Lord. The Lord says, you know, I've made you to be a terrestrial vehicle. I haven't made you to be an amphibious vehicle. You're not going to take your car and drive it into Lake Apopka and expect to get to the other side. It's not an amphibious vehicle. It's a terrain vehicle. And God has made us in certain ways. Turn in your Bibles now. We're going to look at a few scriptures now. And we're going to exercise ourselves here by looking to the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 16. Does God change our plans sometimes? Absolutely. Proverbs chapter 16. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. Have you ever heard people say, oh, I'm doing right. I've got it all together. Don't bother me. Don't sweat the small stuff. I've got it covered. Everything is all right. Work on somebody else's property. Worry about somebody else. The Word of God says the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but it's the Lord that weighs the spirit, and he knows our hearts. And very often our plans are heading us right into the bug zapper. And the Lord doesn't want to see us destroy our lives. And sometimes young couples are wanting to climb the economic ladder. But you know what? The Lord knows that that ladder is leaning against the wrong wall and it's going into the wrong way. And the Word of God teaches us that God is going to work. And what's the answer? Commit thy works unto the Lord. You know, you'll never go wrong when you give that counsel to somebody. Commit your works unto the Lord. Thy thoughts shall be established. You put the Lord first, and he will establish your going. And he'll cause things to fall in the right place at the right time. But when you take detours, or where I take detours to God's will, in self-will. That's the proud heart that is condemned in verse 5. The proud in heart is an abomination of the Lord. Though hand join in hand, and you find all kinds of people that'll agree with the wrong way that you're going. And you know, misery loves company. Isn't that true? Isn't that true that somebody who you're counseling with, it could be you're giving counsel to a son or a grandson or a granddaughter or whatever, and well, that's your old-fashioned way, but you know, I have a lot of people that agree with me and see it my way. And you can go to Hollywood and you can go to television as well. But you know, God has the right to change our plans. Let me give you another one. Look at Psalm 121. Just go one book back, Psalm 121. Oh, I trust that we, as we observe the Lord's Supper at the end of the service this morning, that we're able to come before Him with open and sincere hearts, surrendered wills. It's Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Dear folks, we all need help from the Lord. Well, I'm a self-made man. I'm going to make my own decisions. I'm going to go my way. Well, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end is the pathway of destruction. We need to look unto the Lord. That's where our help is going to come. Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. And you know, if He made heaven and earth, as it says here, I think He can direct your little old life, don't you think? And mine? What issues are so great in your life that God can't solve and bring to greater things? He spoke, and He, by the word of His power, was able to bring heaven and earth together. And we have this promise. He will not allow, He'll not suffer thy foot to be moved. He doesn't want you to undergo the significant struggles that others have made because of their self-will. Don't you think it's a lot better for us to learn from the significant stumbles of others so that we can bypass those? Is your life so long that you can afford to take the detours that so many of those in the Word of God have taken? Don't you think it's better to learn from the mistakes of others? All of these things, as we heard in Sunday school, were given to us as an example that we should not go through those things, you see. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. So therefore, insomnia is out on your part, because there's no reason for you and the Lord to stay awake. You can give it to Him, and He's got it covered for you. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. And listen, folks, this is referring to the changes that He may allow in our life. When the changes come, these promises are still there. Therefore, a wrong decision because of change is not the proper response. In the midst of everything that life will throw at us, be it change of health, change of your partner's health, change of circumstances, losing your job, whatever the case might be, trust in Him. The Lord is prepared to turn and open a new chapter in your life that is all part of His will for you. He'll preserve your soul. And look at verse 8. He shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. King Solomon mentioned that in 1 Kings chapter 3, when he became king. Lord, I'm but a child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And yet the Lord is able to give the wisdom to go out and to come in, not only from this time forth, but even forever. Let me give you a few other scriptures to prepare our hearts for the table of the Lord. And incidentally, as we know, the table of the Lord is a picture of our justification in Christ Jesus. But the table of the Lord is not only a demonstration of God's grace in saving us, but the table of the Lord is a testimony for us that He's directing our lives, that He's keeping our lives, that He's in charge of our lives. So when we remember the Lord, we're comforting ourselves that He is our Heavenly Father, and that we are His children and the sheep of His pasture, and that He is in control of our lives. So this testimony of the Lord's Supper is a great encouragement. And turn to this other scripture of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. These are scriptures that we've read but need to remind ourselves about. It says, "Therefore I say unto you," after he talks about the subject of serving two masters, after he talks about not being able to serve God and mammon, he brings up the fact that worry can be a master. And he says, "Take no thought." In other words, don't be anxious for your life. And that includes the changes, folks. That's when we worry, isn't it? When changes come, unanticipated events. "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, for yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the birds of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap. They don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." And then comes a statement from the Lord. Because of the fact that we uniquely are made in the image of God, he says, "Are ye not much better than they?" Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross to save birds. Jesus didn't die on the cross to save lilies of the field. Although the results of redemption will be the lifting of the curse over the planet, and lilies will benefit that way. But the point is, we are unique and we are better than they. And the Lord's going to care for us. Then the scriptures go on to read, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature?" You know what I noticed about myself? The slacks that I wear always used to have a 32 inseam. All my life, 32 inseam on my slacks. Maybe I ought to be discussing this with Detta since she's such a good seamstress, but you know, I found out that I've got 31 and a half now. Now, what do you think is happening? I'll leave that to you. Let's put it this way. It has nothing to do with my shoes. But I'm just kind of noticing. I found myself walking on my slacks. And I said, you know, these are getting a little ruffled and worn out behind the heel. You know, at first I'd take a pair of scissors and kind of cut off the strings from stepping on my slacks, and I found out, you know what, I'm going to have to switch to... So, Detta, you get ready, okay? I'm going to bring all my slacks to you, get them trimmed down half an inch. But, you know, the Bible talks about adding to your stature. It isn't going to happen for Pastor John. Now, maybe I ought to get a pair of Cuban heels, like Tony Orlando or some of these other old-time singers that were 5'4", and they made themselves 5'8", you know? Look what Jesus said in verse 27. "Which of you by being anxious, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Why do you take thought about raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. They grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Now, I know that some of you are going through change and you're worried about some of the changes. Am I going to be able to keep body and soul together? Where am I going to live? What am I going to do? What if this happens? What if that happens? And somebody says, well, you know what? All of those worries go away when you get older. They're just the sins of the youth. Don't believe that for one moment. Every one of us, if we really wanted to, could sit down and have a real good worry time. What do you think? You got a few things to worry about? The point is, what are you going to allow those to do to you? We need to turn over to the Lord. We need to look to Him. The Word of God says, if God clothes, verse 30, the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the ovens, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I want you to think about the Lord's table today as not only a look back to our redemption, but I want you to observe the table of the Lord today with the express affirmation of faith. Lord Jesus, You have provided for everything I need through Your precious blood. My justification, my sanctification, my glorification, my home in heaven, You have provided everything that pertains to life and godliness, and I'm going to trust in You. And to me, the Lord's table represents His all-sufficiency in my justification, sanctification, and glory. We are complete, folks, in Him. And worry and concern about changes in our life, we need to trust the Lord about some of those that will come about. There are seasons in life, and all of them have their beauty, and all of them are ordained of the Lord, and they're all a part of life. Even passing on into eternity is a beautiful thing if you look at it from God's perspective, because the best is yet to come. And it represents the culmination of everything that Jesus provided for us. And we thank the Lord for that and trust in Him. Oh, take no thought, verse 31, what we shall eat or what shall we drink, with what shall we be clothed. All these things do the Gentiles seek. You know what the Lord is basically saying? I don't want you to act like the world. The world, they're the ones that are slitting their wrists, jumping off of buildings, going to anesthetic crutches, trying to fill the void with all types of man-made inventions. I don't want you to be like the world. I want you to show the world how your light can so shine that my grace can make a difference. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. Let me give you some other precious scriptures. Turn to chapter 10. Turn to chapter 10 and verse 28. The Word of God says, don't fear them which kill the body. There are a lot of people that are being martyred for their faith, members of the body of Christ, that for even coming to church like we did this morning, there's a death penalty attached to it. There are pastors that if they preached what I've been preaching so far, their head would be decapitated, and they would not even get to go home again, ever again. But the Word of God says, don't fear them that kill the body. They're not able to kill the soul. We're to fear Him that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The more critical issue is this: do we know the Lord? Have we made provision for our souls for eternity? It's a given that God is going to take care of His own. But the point is, are you His own? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because if you're saying no to Jesus now, someday He'll say no to you at the great white throne in heaven. Oh, we need to read the scripture where it says in verse 28, fear not him that kills the body and are not able to kill the soul. Fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Aren't our two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your heavenly Father and his awareness of it. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Let me give you another scripture. And you know, it's wonderful. I had a chance to look at some of the cards, the veterans' cards that some of you wrote, and they were a blessing because I stuffed the envelopes and put the tracks in and things. And one of the scriptures that you enjoyed writing was this one right here. And many of you know it by heart. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. I plead with you this afternoon, the change that you are going through, embrace verse 11 of Jeremiah 29. Because, you know, all of your faith is based upon the integrity of God. And God accounts himself as responsible for the one who has committed his life into the Lord's hands. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. God has our best interests in heart. Doesn't it break your heart when people refuse to believe that, and they persist in their wrong decisions, and they're like that June bug headed towards the zapper? And the Lord says it does not have to be that way. Notice what it says in verse 13. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's the response that the Lord wants us to have in the changes in life. One last scripture before we prepare our hearts for the table of the Lord, and that's from Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 5. We've had a devotional time in the Word today. Not a lot of heavy theology, not that that's ever wrong, but these are things that we encounter in the day-to-day struggles of life that we need to have a heart-to-heart with the Lord and look at his promises. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Tonight, we're going to be considering, and it's not really going to be that long a service, you might think that it would be, but just think by overview now, the examples of people that went through the unexpected changes of life. Think of Job. Think of Abraham. Changes. They were going about their business and something drastically happened. Tonight we'll hear about Joseph. Unexpected events, changes. Hey Lord, I heard your promises about me and you're not panning out. Moses, changes. Things didn't work out like he thought. David, the apostles, fishermen. I'm happy being a fisherman. All of a sudden, Jesus comes, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And their life was turned around far and beyond that which they ever believed. The Apostle Paul, think of his experience as well. Well, we're going to be looking this evening at some of the commonalities in all of these examples. Then we're going to apply them to some personal lessons that we need to learn. Let's bow our heads together and have a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask our elders to come and prepare the table of the Lord. Dear folks, Maybe these words will help you to look at the Lord's table. In the big picture, you'll see that the Lord's table represents a great deal of our lives as we look to Him. Father, thank You for this time that we can have together. And Lord, all of us are going through changes in life. Just like our hair growing, changing color, and the dimensions and the abilities of our strength and our movement and our agility, all of these things are examples, Lord, of, in some cases, the second law of thermodynamics, but more than that, Your promise of enablement and Your purpose in our lives. Lord, we thank You for Your provision. Thank You, Lord, that You were willing to make the greatest change for us. You were willing to leave heaven's glory, and You were willing to come unto this planet, this world, and be rejected of Your chosen people. Lord, I thank You that You were willing to make that change because You so loved us. And Lord, we thank You that in Christ Jesus, You've given us all things. And Lord, this calls us to the place of self-examination as to who is really governing our lives, whether it's us or whether it's You. And Lord, Your word says, I beseech You therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is Your reasonable service. Father, bless us as we observe Your table now and ask Your blessing upon the elements. In Jesus' name I pray.